Financial experts Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
I got hairy legs, and the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down.
And thank you, Dr. Pepper, and thank you, Chancellor, or Dr. Paper.
I learned about kids jumping on my lap, and I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
Now, here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
Alrighty, welcome back. You've got Mike Hayflick and Mike Sparazza in studio this week. Mike Lomas and Glenn Wiggle are off this week. Always fun to be here. I always look forward to this. Lots happening, Mike, right? Lots happening out there. We're going to cover a lot of ground. We're actually going to be talking to Kevin Hardwick today and also one of our wealth managers, Anthony Zuffler.
Yeah, never. I start the show like this a lot. Never a dull moment around here in the United States, and to be honest with you, around the world. We obviously saw what happened in Japan yesterday. That was very sad. We're going to talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know how that happens, right?
Yeah.
I mean, literally within yards of the former Prime Minister of Japan, Abe, just gunned down. I mean, and killed. And it's just shocking that they didn't have, I think, a bigger circle of security around a guy like him, how anyone gets in with any type of, you know, weapon. Like it was a crazy thing that happened. I mean, if you see some of the video, just a terrible shame. Coming off of the Highland Park shootings in Illinois as well, just wondering about the whole idea of law enforcement and information sharing. How did that break down so badly that a kid like him, geez, attempts suicide, gets knives from his father's collection and says he's gonna hurt people, and somehow he then is approved to get firearms because his dad says I'll sponsor him. Shocking.
Yeah, and again, it's the same story, right? They're known to law enforcement, they're known to their communities, and these things keep happening. And again, at some point we have to talk about mental health and mental health issues,
right?
Because that is one of the biggest things in this country right now and around the world, apparently, too. So
yep.
If we're not going to address that and we're just going to address the fact that guns are guns, then fine. But that's not going to solve anything, right? These people that want to kill, the person yesterday in Japan, a homemade gun he shot the former prime minister with.
Right.
A homemade gun. People that want to kill will go kill.
And by the way, Illinois is not exactly, you know, Texas in terms of, you know, no gun rights, you know, everyone should have a gun. I mean, we're talking Illinois, one of the states with the strictest gun laws. You know, how on earth does that happen? And I just think it's such a shame because it does. There's always the people who come out swinging on guns instead of what you just said, Mike, about mental health, of tracking these kids that obviously have issues, right? A loner, doesn't speak, gets facial tattoos, stops working. Like, yep. Aren't there enough signs, flags, red flags? And they have red flag laws in Illinois. How on earth do those red flags how are they not seen by all the levels of law enforcement?
And I was talking to Glenn this week, too, about this exact issue, actually. And I said, like, if this type of stuff, threatening to kill yourself, threatening to stab people, in the Buffalo person's case, being on dark chat rooms and threatening to shoot up a school, if those things aren't going on these databases and these red flag, whatever they're going to call them, what's going on there? That they failed a high school test? That they got in trouble in college for, you know, peeing on a playground? Like, what's going on those?
Right. No clue. Just don't have any idea how they're not keeping track of a guy like him. I mean, and then in Uvalde and Buffalo, I mean, all of these things, there were so many signs of keeping people like this, these mentally ill young men and that are turning evil. How on earth do we lose track of these people? Brett Kavanaugh, right? So here he is in a D.C. restaurant, forced to use a back entrance because that loving left is out in force again. Just vile comments, chasing him out, essentially. They're all the ones filled with respect and love of one another, right, Mike?
Yeah. The all-loving left. They're always gonna accept everybody for who they are, no matter who the person is. But the hypocrisy that we've seen over the last, I don't know, year and a half now, with a lot of issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is one of them. The insurrection of January 6th was this disaster, right? It ruined our country. But parading outside of a Supreme Court justice's home, making them go through back alleys to get out of a restaurant, how is that not insurrection of our country as well.
Right.
The people in the Summer of Love, remember Hayflick and the Chaz Chop Zone, right?
Yep.
That burning down and breaking into police stations, no big deal. No big deal. We're okay there. Not an insurrection. But the Capitol that day, oh, it's the worst thing that's ever happened to our country.
And just for a second, let's just imagine some you know, whatever, conservatives, MAGA hat-wearing conservatives are outside a restaurant and Sonia Sotomayor is chased out of a back of the back of a D.C. restaurant. We would think these people, these conservatives with the MAGA hats, should be locked up forever for 10 years at least.
Solitary confinement too, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's essentially what we're seeing, folks. Like, talk about hypocrisy, right? I mean, absolutely just complete hypocrisy. Nobody seems to care on the left about Brett Kavanaugh's well-being as one of the 9 Supreme Court justices. Nobody seems to care. Folks, if you need us throughout the week, 833-FIN-GUYS, if you want to reach us, we're going to have lots of room today for your calls and opinions. 844-434-4TFG. You can find us. We are quite the team on the financial planning side, the wealth management side. They kind of go hand in hand. I look at myself as someone who can help plan, coach, plan for retirement, what to do with all that wealth you've accumulated. But then we have an independent team that manages money, including 3 chartered financial analysts, John Thurr, Paul Meeks, Peter Nielsen, some of the smartest guys in the room when we're around them, right? I mean, that's what we like to say. And they really have a great grasp of what's going on. Of course, no control over what's going on. We'll talk a little bit about the economy later and what's happening with inflation and so forth. And how about our president, Mike, all of us proud coming off of the Independence Day weekend?
Yeah, I don't know if we have enough time left in this segment here to go through all these issues this week that he's having. You know, again, we say this week in and week out, and we're going to keep saying it. It's not funny anymore, right? The gaffes, we all laugh at them, sure. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you laugh, and then you almost want to cry because you're like, this is the guy pushing the buttons, potentially, in our country, right? It's really, really scary that a guy that can't read off a teleprompter, and we have that clip for you later, he can actually read. To give him credit, he can read. He just doesn't know, you know, the show sheet yet, right? Like when we do this podcast, we have a show sheet that we go through.
Right.
We know things that we got to hit when we got to hit them. And we don't just say, like, I'm looking at our show notes right now. It doesn't say, we start the show with show notes, 7-9-2022. Hayflick, you're up.
Yeah.
Right? That's not how you do things.
Play video clip.
Yeah.
Play audio. You know, we don't
repeat.
Have to say that.
You know, and that's what's really scary. This guy, and he goes through it and doesn't even realize what he's doing.
Right.
I mean, he's literally Ron Burgundy.
Yeah, he really is. He was. When I saw that on Twitter, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's exactly that. We can't play some of the clips from that movie. Unfortunately, it's a sort of a PG rated show. But if you never saw Ron Burgundy, folks, on Anchorman is the movie, you will think, holy cow, we have an Anchorman in the White House.
And seriously, not that I want his second in command, because, you know, she just overspeaks and doesn't know where she's going with anything.
Right.
But, I mean, Joe's advisors, his family, his wife, his son, you know, at some point they may have to say, all right, enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're doing a disservice to our country, to our constituents, to the people that are relying on us. They're just doing a disservice.
Yep.
Because he just goes out there and gets trampled. I mean, imagine, seriously for a minute, imagine him talking to Vladimir Putin, right? Imagine him talking to Kim Jong-un, right?
Right.
Imagine him talking to his dog.
Honest to God.
Like,
honestly.
I mean, it's really, really scary.
It's super scary. And I guess 2 things that I think of when we talk about this is, who exactly is running the White House then? I mean, here we are, American citizens. He's supposed to be serving us. I want to know who's running the White House. And then, secondly, are we actually better off if they actually get Mr. Biden out because of, you know, let's say a 25th Amendment transfer of power type of process? Are we actually better off with a Kamala Harris? I hate to say it, but I think we might be better off with a Joe Biden for another 2 years and 6 months or whatever it would be.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest things, Mike, is it's getting past the point now, right, of like, these are gaffes.
Mm-hmm.
These aren't gaffes anymore,
no.
Right? This isn't a gaffe. This is somebody who has a mental cognizance issue, right? Not anymore like, oh, there's Joe again dropping some line that he shouldn't say, right? Like, or, oh, there's unpolitically correct Joe again saying something. This is not that. This is literally he's asking,
right.
he's talking to himself about how to go up to a podium. Okay, now I come up here and I stand here. Okay, what's next? All right, look at the teleprompter. Okay,
yeah.
Read. Like, that's where we're at. That's not gaffes anymore, folks. That is a mental issue, and I keep saying it. It's really actually sad to see somebody like that, especially your president.
No question. And this isn't like he's trying to do all this on his own. I mean, imagine the people around him, the handlers, so to speak, getting him ready for these events, right? These are not unscripted, like, hey, you just got to think on the fly like Trump. I mean, Trump, if he saw a camera, Trump would go right to the camera and right to the reporter and say, what do you got for me? I'll answer any question you have. This is not that. This is prepared press conferences. You got all the staff around you, the handlers doing everything to make this thing perfect. You even have Kamala in the background there standing side by side, right? I think it was Mayorkas maybe the background this latest gaffe fest. And this is now, this is so bad even with all of that planning.
And the crazy part is, before we go to break here, the crazy part is these are not very difficult things. Like, you're literally going there, you're saying a few words, and you're getting off the teleprompter and you're getting off the stage because he doesn't take questions. Mm-hmm. It's such a simple task. And even with all those handlers, Mike, it should be even simpler, right? Like, imagine in any job, right, where your job was to do something, but everybody did it for you.
Right.
You shouldn't screw up.
Right.
You just shouldn't screw up.
And by the way, this is a guy of, what, 5 decades in political service, right?
Right.
So 5 decades of service and experience in those types of positions, right? Seeing staff and cameras and reporters, and you should be really, really good at what you're doing at this point in time. Like, he should be so smooth, so ready, and he is far from that, folks. But he's our president right now, and we have to, persevere. So we are going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to be talking to one of our wealth managers, one of the newer members of the team. I feel like Anthony's been around for some time now, but newer, I'll say, Anthony Zeffler, coming up after this break. I also want to just plug the network of podcasts, not just one anymore. Mike Lomas and Glenn Wiggle have done the Financial Guys podcast for over 2.5-3 years now. Mike, you and I do our TFG Truth. We have a couple episodes, 2 episodes coming out this week. One is with our special guest, Rob Ort. You and Stefan Mihailu are doing the Mike and Mihailu podcast, talking patriotism this week. We're going to talk a little bit about patriotism. Folks, if you haven't seen a certain video of a 100-year-old veteran.
102.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So you've got to stay tuned for that. It's absolutely this 2-hour period. If you hear this video, I think you're going to go off into the rest of this weekend feeling really, really good, because I think you hear from someone like him and you think, you know what, we got to fix things. We got to have some determination to make things right for a guy like this 102-year-old veteran. So stay tuned. And nearly every day of the week, folks, you can hear these podcasts. So go out and find wherever you find your podcast, whatever platform that is. For Mike Spraz, I'm Mike Hayfleck. We are here today for Mike and Glenn. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back to talk to Anthony Zeffler. Stay tuned.
Is blaming Democrats, or will continue to blame Democrats on gas?
I don't think Republicans are blaming Democrats. I think they're blaming the oil companies. They will blame all of us if we don't do something about the fossil fuel industry.
But they won't take that out on your side on the midterms, if you pass this bill and prices don't get better, or the perception is that things are better.
I don't think what you're saying is making very much sense.
While Nancy sobers up, let's kick it back to the Financial Guys.
All right. Welcome back, folks. Heard a little plug for our next guest, wealth manager Anthony Zeffler. We're going to bring Anthony on the line. Anthony, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, all right. How you doing this weekend?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
I really
just wanted to talk a little bit about the TFG Academy that we have coming up on Wednesday the 13th.
Oh, yeah, let's hear it. So this coming Wednesday, July 13th, TFG Academy sponsoring, and it's right here at our offices, folks, 305 Spindrift Drive. What do we got cooking this week?
So this week it's going to be a part of our estate planning series, and it's going to be a little bit more focused on passing wealth to the next generation. Essentially, for those people that haven't attended one of our academies before, we put them on for you guys. We sit with clients every day, and we tend to hear the same concerns, same questions. So that's when we get together, put an academy together to address a lot of those concerns, a lot of hot topics, like estate planning, Social Security, Medicare. This one is a little bit more specific on estate planning.
Awesome. And I think a lot of times people will think when you say the word or the phrase estate planning, you're thinking, oh, that's like for the Jeff Bezoses of the world, the Bill Gateses of the world. That's not really true, right, Anthony? I mean, the simplest, we always talk about this in the office with our clients, the simplest form of estate planning is simply assigning beneficiaries on things like your retirement accounts, right? So it's not like you have to think, oh, wow, this is too sophisticated for me, right?
You're exactly right. Really, it's for everybody. If you have money left over when you pass, they're going to try and tax you. They're going to try and come after what you have. So really, whenever we meet with somebody and talk about estate planning, essentially the goals are always going to be the same. It's going to be, how do I maximize what I have? What do I leave to my children? Also, how do I protect what I have? And lastly, how do I minimize costs, like transfer costs and taxes, things like that? Those goals are pretty much always the same, but we use different strategies for different clients because everybody has a different situation. And that's what this academy is going to be on. So we'll talk about the basics, like how your wealth is going to be transferred, as well as some rules for inherited IRAs, things like that. But really, we're going to get into some different strategies on how to really maximize what you have, protect what you have, as well as minimize costs and things like that. So the strategies are going to be the biggest thing.
And Anthony, is this just an in-person or is this available online as well?
It's going to be both. So we'll be in person right at our office on 305 Spindrift, and that's at 6:15 p.m. And we're also going to do a virtual seminar as well at the exact same time. For those of you that want to sign up, learn a little bit more, you can sign up right at thefinancialguys.com. And again, that's going to be two different sessions, one in person and one online. You can sign up both right at thefinancialguys.com.
Awesome. Anthony, thanks for calling in on a Saturday. It's a beautiful Saturday. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And folks, again, Wednesday, July 13th, an estate planning workshop right here, TFG Academy, 305 Spindrift, 6:15 p.m., and also a virtual workshop if you can't make it to our location. So thanks again, Anthony.
Thanks for having me on. Take care.
Awesome. You betcha. Yeah, another just a rising star here, folks, in our Financial Guys offices, Anthony Zoeffler. And just works his tail off like a lot of us, right, Mike?
That's right. We don't have a choice in this office. We are all busy all the time, and we have a lot of fun with it. It's not. It doesn't feel like a job at times being here, right? It feels like just a good group of people that are all here for the same reason.
No doubt, and that's to help people, right? Mike, yep. Lomas, he's always saying this, sometimes over a glass of wine or a beer. He's saying, you know, if people just kept it simple and you simply just woke up and decided, how am I going to help people today? Yep. And I say, absolutely. It's kind of like our mantra around here. What are we going to do when we walk through these doors and help people? How are we going to do that best? So,
yep.
Folks, if you need us throughout the week, 833-FIN-GUYS to reach other wealth managers just like Anthony Zoeffler. Give us a ring, 833-FIN-GUYS.
Before we go to the break, should we talk about Elon Musk?
We should.
Should we talk about
yes,
that?
Yes, yes. There's an opportunity here, folks. He is out on the purchase of Twitter. He thinks Twitter did not give him really all the most honest and maybe, I don't know, didn't disclose as much information about what those, like,
the
computer
bots, essentially.
Bots and
yep.
so forth.
Yep.
Yeah. If anyone can call in and talk to us about this, like, I don't think we're the experts on this. But he has decided he is out. So now they're going back and forth, of course, sort of attacking each other, I guess, on, wait, he can't just pull out of this. You know, there's attorneys now that are saying, no, he's held to this.
Right.
We'll see. But I thought, Mike, what about you and I?
I know. We got the funds, right?
Let me see what I got in my accounts. How about 48 bucks each? Could we do it?
I had a bag of Cheez-Its for lunch today, so I'm not in the position to do that. But, you know, it is crazy, though. I mean, because we were all hoping for Elon Musk, right? We really were, because We thought maybe that we would get some kind of change in the social media world because it truly is an epic disaster right now,
right,
with what's being censored out there and what's going on. And, you know, hopefully, whether it's Elon or somebody else, we fix that problem because it is really, really bad on the social media front right now with censorship and with people just getting shut down or not being able to voice any opinion, whether it's good or bad.
Right. You have to think, does the left really care? They might be going, yes, he is not going to take over. Thank goodness.
Yep.
He was starting to look a little bit more conservative minded.
Yep.
You know, some of the comments he makes about our president and you know, freedom of speech and so forth. Maybe they're happy about this. I kind of sense that they might be. Folks, listen, we're going to be coming up on a hard break in a moment. We are going to be talking to Kevin Hardwick, the Erie County Comptroller, in the second hour.
Yep.
And we're going to be just thrilled to have him on. He's basically in charge of Erie County's books. So we're going to have a nice little Q&A with Kevin Hardwick. Folks, if you haven't gone through a unique homework or process to figure out your numbers, to figure out your plan, that's what we do. We have a unique process where we ask you questions like, how do you feel about risk? What are your expenses? A lot of times I think financial advisors, they're just thrilled to talk about mutual funds, certain stocks, and so forth. And that is important, don't get me wrong. But you also should have a plan. When might you want to stop working full-time, right? When do you not want to report to your full-time job? And we can help you with this, folks. So if you're thinking about retirement soon, if you need help on the home and auto side, right, Mike?
Yep.
The TFG home and auto, feel free. Please give us a call. Health insurance planning. Reach us at 833-FIN-GUYS. We'll be right back, folks. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go away.
10 years old, and she was forced to have to travel out of the state to Indiana to seek to terminate the presidency and maybe save her life.
Okay. That was probably the most recent gaffe, right, Mike?
Yeah. For those that didn't hear that, too, he was talking about a 10-year-old going out of state to get an abortion. And he meant to say terminate the pregnancy, yet he said terminate the presidency, which I do agree with. We should terminate the presidency at our earliest convenience because this is the type of stuff that, I mean, again, that's a serious message he's trying to make, but he just gaffes it up.
And he takes away, right? I mean, every time this happens, what are we talking about? We're not talking about, you know, the birth control, the pregnancies, the tragedy of a 10-year-old getting pregnant, first of all.
Right.
We're not talking about abortion and how now the federal government has basically shifted these you know, the responsibility to the states to get the people's opinion, to then let the state's representatives figure out what's best for each state. We're not talking about any of that. What are we talking about? We're talking about him saying terminating the presidency and not terminating a pregnancy.
And one thing on that before we jump into patriotism, Mike, you know, the left, especially here in New York, they didn't mind having states' rights when it came to COVID, right?
No.
Every state wanted to have their own thing for COVID, right? New York happened to just shut down everything. That was their strategy, right?
Right.
It wasn't a federal thing at that time with COVID, but now the abortion issue, we want to force that back to the states, and everybody's up in arms about it.
Exactly. Imagine President Trump at some point going to the podium and saying, the COVID crisis is no longer a health crisis.
Yep.
Everybody can open their doors. Everybody can open their businesses. Every child can get back in a classroom. Imagine the outpouring of, there'd be riots over that if President Trump said that. No question about it.
You wanna go into patriotism?
Let's talk a little bit about this. So,
4th of July week.
Yeah,
here?
Coming right off of a great Independence Day weekend. And, you know, this whole idea of patriotism, you know, I want to know, how do you folks, if you're listening, how do you define it for yourself? Do you do it by who's in office, or do you do it based on what the country is all about, what it was founded on? And I'd say I focus on the latter. I don't necessarily think to myself, I feel less patriotic because of Joe Biden. I feel more patriotic because of President Trump. That's not me. I feel like I am so proud of this country of what, 246 years now, and what it means, what it's about, and the opportunity that it presents.
And I think that's the true difference between these, like Morgan Zegers told us, Mike, right? The leftists and then us conservatives, right?
Right.
That's the big difference. During these tough times, and trust me, the financial guys, us, we are as unhappy and as sick to our stomach as most of you are with how the country's being ran right now. But not once did a thought come through my head to say, let's burn it down, folks. Let's burn down our cities. Let's spray paint walls. Let's create a mess of our cities and our states. Not once. I want to talk about things and actually have a real conversation about issues, not yell, scream, and have a temper tantrum like a kid in Toys R Us, right? That's how the left deals with things they get mad about. They scream, they yell, they torment social, justices, mm-hmm. Supreme Court justices, and then they just burn things down. That is their way of getting through. That is not patriotic, right? That's anti-patriotic, if you ask me, right? That's truly hating your country. If you want to burn down your country, and let's go back a second, too. As we stand in 2022, this is still the greatest country in the whole world. And if you don't like it, take your iPhone and go to China and see how that goes for you. If you don't like it, get out. Ask Brittany Griner how great Russia is right now.
Yep.
How's she doing there?
A little bit of pot oil found in her bags, and she's detained. She pleads guilty and could get 10 years in prison.
Yeah.
Are you getting 10 years in prison if anyone finds a bag and then has some oils in it that you could smoke or whatever, use CBD?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Would you ever go to prison for 10 years here in the United States? No, you'd probably not even have to report to court. I mean, this is the difference, folks. So any of these crazy leftists that think this is so horrible that they cannot possibly stand for the national anthem, that they cannot possibly support the Independence Day that we just had. Why are you here? Leave. Remember when Trump got elected, there were people like Bette Midler saying, I'm out, I can't get out. Remember Madonna? She's like in D.C. saying, blow up, do I not have thoughts about the burning down the White House right. And all that? Like, why are they still here then? Are they here for the millions of dollars that they can make and all this adoration that they can get from all their liberal friends? I think so. They're not leaving. I wish they would, but they're not.
And again, I think the problem with politics in our country at this point, too, is that there really is not actual dialogue between both sides, right? If you're a conservative and you believe in X, Y, and Z, you're a racist, right?
Yep.
If you think we should maybe shut our southern border because drugs and bad people are coming up there, oh my God, what's wrong with you? These people are coming for a better life. I get that, but can the Americans get a better life first? Can we start there for our cities, our rural areas, our states as a whole? Can we start and help those people first before we bring in millions of others? Instead of sending billions of dollars to Ukraine to help their border problem, can we maybe look at ours first? Is that okay with anybody?
Right. We're far better at most things than many, many other countries. And the leftists, many of the liberals, like the Bill Maher's of the world, like they are starting to get it,
yep.
Right? Bill Maher, I feel like I could never even listen to the guy. But
he's on point.
I think he's starting to come on point. He's starting to really bash this whole woke culture thing. He's basically saying, Democrats, if you ever want to win another election, like you've got to stop. Like, stop.
And I think this terrible, terrible narrative since Donald Trump's been in office, but that like conservative minded people just, want the worst for people that aren't white males. Nobody feels that way.
No.
Nobody feels that way. I don't know one person that's like, I'm a white male and that's where we have to continue going is producing white males. Nobody says that.
Right.
Literally nobody.
Not a person.
I don't know where they get this stuff. Like, it's just, and it's frustrating because, again, you can't debate these folks. We talk about this all the time. Like, you can't have an adult conversation with these people. It truly is a kid in Toys R Us when his mom says, no toys for you today. You already got enough.
No doubt. And it's sort of like, God, Alice in Wonderland. It's like up is down and down is up and black is white and white is black. It's just, you cannot make sense of it anymore. The minute you wake up, you can turn on the TV and say, what? Like, how could we not all agree on that? How can you see a whole bunch of illegal immigrants in a refrigerator car,
yep.
55, 56 people dead because there was no oxygen, the refrigeration was not working, they come over the border illegally, they're dead inside the back of this trailer. How do you not say that could have been prevented? How do you not say that? These people have died. And this is not compassionate, folks. Letting people have to do that, coming over our border illegally, and then seeing them basically mounds of human beings dead in the back of the refrigerator truck.
And not for nothing, Mike. For the people in the White House, not that you're listening to me right now, because you're certainly not, stop saying it's not on you for the immigration problem. It absolutely is. When you offer an open border to people, of course they're going to come up. Right. Of course they would, right? It's like teasing your dog with treats. If you say the word treat, of course they're going to come for the treat. They're used to it. That's what they hear treat. It's immediately like, I'm going to get a treat. I'm going to get food now. That it's the same type of idea. If you offer these things, if you tell a kid, mm-hmm. every time you show up for school, I'll buy you a toy. Him going to school, he thinks, I'm going to get a toy every day. Yep. You're training people to come over that border and have zero responsibility.
Right.
When they get over here, they have zero responsibility.
Yep. And not feel that they have to be accountable to anything.
No.
And let's not forget all the criminals that are coming over.
Yeah, and the drugs.
Right? And the drugs, yeah. The fentanyl, the illegal sex trafficking, human trafficking, all that's going on. It's all horrendous, and it doesn't get better, folks, as the summer months unfold. The numbers will get bigger, but I think the numbers of deaths and just tragedies is going to get even worse.
And my question for our White House, Mayorkas, whoever wants to answer the question, what's your plan here? Mm-hmm. What is the long-term strategy? Are you going to just keep it open? Are you going to curb the border and say, we got to stop this? Are you going to just get these people into your cities and your states and just put them on welfare or free health care? What is your plan? They won't address that. And at some point, somebody's got to ask the question. We have to know that.
Right. Can we get another press conference with Kamala and say, have you figured out the root causes yet?
Because
you know what? If you haven't, can we at least do what's most immediately needed?
Yeah.
Secure the darn border.
Yeah.
Like, there are people dying coming over this border now. It is overwhelming. Miles-long caravans of people dying in refrigerator cars. And I could put this right on the White House's doorstep. This is their fault for not making these laws that are already in place be enforced.
That is incorrect, Mike. It is Greg Abbott's fault in Texas,
The
White House.
Yeah, he's creating chaos and confusion. Yeah. That was our press secretary, the White House press secretary, saying, you know, they need to butt out of immigration control. Governors like Greg Abbott of Texas, they're causing chaos and confusion. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
And the fact that the White House thinks, like, why does Greg Abbott have an opinion on this? I don't know. His state is dealing with it like Arizona is. They are on the border. Of course they're going to have an opinion on this and want to have conversations about it and want to shut it down, because those states are the ones that they're coming in and they're dealing with it.
It's his people, his law enforcement officials, that are having to carry out dead bodies out of these backs of vans and trucks. Why? Because there is no border control right now. And it is not those folks, those border patrol officers' fault. We are not saying that at all. It's the fault of those at the top, starting with our president, Joe Biden.
And his border czar, Kamala Harris, who is not so much of a border czar. And to your point, Mike, about the root causes before, are we there yet? Do we have any data, Kamala? Do we want to talk about that at all yet? Do we want to talk about the root causes that you've been studying for the last 8, 10, 12 months?
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any update on that? Because I haven't heard from you, I don't know, since you said the word root causes, I think, on the border. That was the last time.
Since ever.
Yeah.
Right.
And since you openly mocked going down there.
Yeah. We're going to talk a little bit more about patriotism today, folks. If you have any thoughts on this, please give us a call. 844-434-TFG. We're also going to be talking a little bit more about inflation and the economy and what's going on. Lots of gaffes coming out of the White House, but not many solutions. We would like a White House that actually offers solutions. And unfortunately, I know a lot of the people I talk to every single day in my office, they are worried, they are anxious, because there is no leadership in D.C. right now. None. And we need it, right? We need it. Mike, you mentioned this during our planning and prep. Talking about the Democrats and how basically inept, how incompetent the White House is, Congress is. But we also said we have to hold the Republicans to task, right? We have to say, listen, if you win in the midterms, if you turn the Senate and the House of Representatives red, you better do something, right? They haven't always done something.
Yep.
They are often, they're all knuckleheads, right?
Yep.
They're all they're not even debating right now. But when they debate, they all seem to think, well, they're the elites. What are we going to do for the little people? We've got to stop sending people to Washington that don't think of us. They serve us.
Yep. And Mike and Glenn, you know, talk about this all the time, right? The Republican leadership, you know, fights with pillows on their hands. And then you have mm-hmm. you have the liberal politicians who fight with bare knuckles and brass knuckles.
Right.
You know, at some point, you got to have a little fire and fight back.
Yep.
Does that mean you have to be disrespectful? Absolutely not. Does that mean you have to just not work with the other side because they're liberal? No, of course not. But you have to be tough. And you have to fight for your constituents. And that's where I think we're really, really lost in this country on both sides. The far left and a lot of the right, they're mm-hmm. not fighting for their constituents enough. And at some point, hopefully we get some kind of leadership that will. Ron DeSantis, who we have a clip from later,
yeah.
he is one guy that does that, right? He will do it how he believes to do it because that's what his people want. And there's a lot of happy people in Florida, I'll tell you.
No doubt. We're also going to go through a few of the Medal of Freedom winners late. And we want you to chime in, folks. We want to know if you think that all of these Medal of Freedom winners, I think 17 of them, are deserving. We're going to take a quick break, though. When we get back, folks, there is more, far more. Lots of room, though, today for your calls and opinions. 844-434-4TFG. Please don't go away. You've got Mike Hayflick and Mike Spiraza this week on the Financial Guys Radio Network.
You're listening to the Financial Guys. Here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
All righty, welcome back. Happy to be here, as always, Mike, right? About once a month, I know you and I, and you and Stefan have been taking over some shows, which is a lot of fun. I love listening. It's so funny, whenever I talk to you, Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, all of us, even though we're not doing the show, we are, like, listening. We'll often be texting each other during the show to give each other, more info and all that. I just get such a kick out of it.
It's hard not to listen on Saturdays, obviously, being tied to, you know, these companies. And it's always, you know, it's good local talk radio for us as guys to listen to. It's our friends. It's our, yep. you know, it's great people. And, you know, sometimes it's easier. I love watching Tucker Carlson at night, but yeah. it's not local. And I appreciate local because I think it's really important to hear colleagues, to hear people in your area, you know,
no
your
doubt.
Zip codes and whatnot.
No doubt. And folks, besides hearing us here every Saturday on WBEN and Wham, you can also like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at FinGuys, find and listen to our podcasts. I mentioned those earlier in the show. You got the original TFG podcast with Mike Lomas and Glenn Wiggle. You've got TFG Truth with myself and Mike Spiraza here, where we say we report facts, expose hypocrisy, and espouse common sense. And we've also got now Mike and Mihailu. So you can listen to all these podcasts wherever you can find them on any platform. Our YouTube channel, go and hit the bell, right? I guess that tells us that you like us. Not like the loving left, those emails that we get into our office.
Oh, yeah, those are always great.
I mean, some are all capital letters, folks. And, you know, like if you're texting or doing an email in all capital letters, it's like screaming at the top of your lungs, like yep. when Trump won. Remember
yep.
the screaming women in D.C.?
No!
Like you thought that it was the apocalypse, right? But you can like us and hit the bell, and it shows you like us. Or I guess if you want to be the liberal left anonymous email people and say, I'll never invest with you. I would never do business with you. And I think to myself, yeah, but I guess you listen to us. Because you know about us,
yep.
so I guess it's working, right?
I love it, too, on Twitter. I'm sure the guys deal with this on Twitter, too. But the people that, you know who we are, that continuously comment on stuff, looking for us to come back at them and, like, start a Twitter war like we're 5 years old, right?
Yes,
it's really they're a piece of work.
You can also find us on thefinancialguys.com, folks. Kind of the old way of finding us now, right,
yep.
Mike?
Yeah.
I guess maybe
we're past that.
Phone calls were the old way,
yeah.
and then websites are the old way. There's a lot of other ways now you can reach us, but thefinancialguys.com. We talked to Anthony Zeffler a little bit earlier about an upcoming workshop, TFG Academy sponsored, right here at 305 Spindrift, or virtually. You can go to our website, thefinancialguys.com, and go ahead and register for that event. And it's an estate planning workshop. And again, estate planning, folks, is not like, you know, oh, it's for those wealthy, wealthy, wealthy one percenters that are the elites that need trusts and all that advanced stuff. No, it's the basic stuff. It's the stuff to try to avoid having lawyers make even more money than they need to. It's how to avoid giving New York State, through a probate process, more of your
wealth. Oh, come on, give them more.
You know, and I might actually, I think next year, oh, I can't even say it, saying I'm going to write an extra check to New York State just to give them because they're such good stewards.
Give them a few bucks.
Yeah. Anyway, so find us, folks. Lots of ways to do that. I'm happy to be back. And gosh, so many things that we've been talking about, patriotism, the border, the lack of border security. We do have a couple callers. And I think on that, John from Rochester, let's bring John in. John, happy Independence Day to you.
Yeah, same to you guys.
Thank you.
When you think about the courage that founding fathers had, I don't think I could find the courage to do what they did. It's unbelievable when you think about it. Most of these guys were pretty wealthy, and a lot of them lost everything. And of course, they could have lost their lives. That was a huge risk, also. So every 4th of July, and even after, I think about the courage and what a great system they put together using the philosophies of some of the biggest and best thinkers in human history, going back to the Greek empires, and some of the, and they put together this republic, this governing system, which has been miraculous. But as you know, we're in danger of losing that government system through the left right now. And and our biggest enemy, really, I believe, right now is the media. Without the media, the left wouldn't have a pot to pee in right now.
Yeah, and you know, going back to what you said about the founding fathers, think of it, like these are the elite of their times, the wealthiest of their times. A lot of what they put in the Constitution, you wonder if they were saying, ooh, should we really do this? Like, this could take away some of our power by doing what we're saying we are proposing to do. And amazingly, like, isn't that something? 246 years later, most of, right? I mean, there have been amendments, but most of what they did back then is still so important and so... what would you say? It's timeless.
Essential. It's essential.
Essential and timeless. Like, these are all ideals that have still survived and we still have to fight for.
And John, I'm going to follow up with what you said about the media, because I think a close second to the media is our educational system too, right? We are not teaching our kids what they need to know to make it in the world, number one. Number two, now we have this idea of let's just put this toxic stuff in their brains from a young age, and college is doing the same thing. That is a close number two for me. The more and more I see that, the more and more I'm scared of our future, because our kids, grandkids, nephews, nieces, whatever it may be, they're the next generation. We need them to take this country and take this world seriously, or we're going to fall even further behind than we are right now.
Well, I got to tell you, I see your point. It's a good point. But if the media did their job, they would call out the education system.
True.
It would be on the front page of newspapers of what the education system is doing to our young if the media did their job. So I think it begins with the media, and what's happening is the education system and some of the radicals that started, Bill Ayers, Bernadette Dorn, they were from the Weather Underground. They were responsible for the killings of policemen and other citizens. And they're some of the top education people in the country right now. And if the media doesn't report this, when Obama when he's nominated for president, they hid all his radical ties. The fact that he was his mentor was Frank Marshall Davis. Well, he was the most notorious American communist in history, who was so notorious, the American Communist Party had him exiled to Hawaii. That's how he met Obama's grandfather, who was a leftist, and was introduced to Obama at a very young age. Did you guys ever read this in the media? It's the media. If they do their job, we wouldn't have this issue.
Yeah, and John, thanks for calling in. I agree, totally agree. And it used to be that the media, whether it was what they agree with or not, whether it was from the left or the right, they reported it, and that's exactly right. They are now acting more as like censors of everything that's out there.
Yep.
We're coming up on a hard break, folks. Don't go away. We have a whole nother hour with you. Happily, Mike and I love to be here in place of Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, getting some well-deserved time off. Don't go away. We're going to be right back. This is the Financial Guys Radio Network. And he wants to talk a little bit about the, I don't think he wants to talk about the terminate the presidency comment by our President Biden. But Mark, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, guys.
Thank All right. Thanks for calling in.
Show. I listen to you every Saturday. Yeah, thanks. Hey, listen, you know, in a world of universal deceit that we now live in, telling the truth has become a revolutionary act. There's no more journalistic integrity anymore. And this story about this 10-year-old girl that was raped and had to go from Ohio to Indiana to get an abortion. There's one journalist out there. I want you guys to look her up. Her name is Natalie Fox. She brought up when she first saw this story come out, all of these red flags in her idea. This story was put out by an abortion doctor named Dr. Caitlin Bernard in Indiana. She is a late-term abortionist. The story was run by a small newspaper called the Indy Star, and then it was picked up by a lot of the mainstream news outlets because it occurred right after the decision on Roe versus Wade. This woman, who's the reporter, her name is Natalie Fox, brought up the first key point. If this actually happened, how come there is no law enforcement agency? Because raping a 10-year-old is a crime.
Right.
And if that person goes even to another state to have an abortion, and they go to a hospital or even to a doctor, and that doctor or hospital knows that a crime has been committed, they are mandated reporters to contact CPS or law enforcement immediately.
Exactly.
There isn't one law enforcement agency in the state of Ohio that can report on this.
So, Mark, real quick, just let me interject for a second. I think you're onto something because they could certainly hide behind HIPAA laws, right? Like, this is a minor, this is health and health related to one's health, so we can't report. You know, we have to be more anonymous. But you're right. Once there's a crime committed.
Here's the only thing the doctor can hide behind. The doctor who performed the abortion or who says she performed the abortion cannot be FOIA'd because then you're talking about doctor-patient privilege. However, getting back to a 10-year-old, whether it's incest or rape, if that person goes to a hospital and has an abortion, or that person has reported a rape like the media has done, like Biden went out and said a 10-year-old was raped. And isn't it ironic that the timing, it came out right after Roe versus Wade, and the mainstream media picked up on it right away, and Politico ran a story, USA Today ran a story, and CNN, Dana Bash on CNN actually questioned Governor Kristi Noem from South Dakota because she knows she's a proponent of she's pro-life. This story is typical of what's going on in this country today. There is no more journalistic integrity.
Well, and Mark,
the lamestream media.
Mark, I was going to say what's sad is the first thing you're talking about is sad. You can't trust, no matter what the issue is, you can't trust a news station or media, a newspaper outlet to get it out right. That's the first sad thing, right? And then the second thing I'm going towards with this,
no,
too, is go ahead. The second thing is that we tend to not actually address things and dig deeper on things, right? Look at the border, for instance, right? It's just like, well, just let them in because we can't. What are we going to do? We can't. No, we have to address that. Dig deeper, right? This,
right.
You know, the school shooters, the young male shooters in our country. It's always like, oh, it's just the guns. It's all the guns. No, let's dig deeper. Why do we have
mental health crisis?
Exactly right. We have a major mental health
crisis with young men
in this country, and it's proven now, right? We don't address and dig deeper on things. We just blanket everything with the easiest excuse we can and hope it fixes itself. It's not working.
Well, here's the issue, too. and I'm going to say it again. The mainstream media has become nothing more than a propaganda wing for the left in this country. They push a narrative to support the left-wing agenda. Discourse, I heard you guys discuss discourse earlier. There was a time in this country, I'm 71 years old. I worked in a school district and coached for 41 years. I'm an elected official in my local community. I've lived here all my life. Mm-hmm. There was a time where you could debate and have discourse, and you could win on facts or data, and if your argument was stronger than the opponent, and you could actually disagree without being disagreeable. But today, the discourse is over in America because now there are so many conditions that mm-hmm. are placed on any type of debate that you want to have. And if you don't adhere to the left wing's conditions, they cancel you, they turn you out, they call you racist, they call you whatever name ad hominem attack they can come up with. That's the problem that we have in the country today.
Well said, Mark. And listen, I just want to pose this to you real quick. The whole idea of patriotism, then. You've done all sorts of service in your life, right? Teaching, coaching, public office. How do you define patriotism? Do you do it based on what's going on around you, or do you feel like it's something you just have kind of, I don't know, you're sort of born with, or you experience it internally, so to speak?
Well, it's a little bit of both, but I was raised by a single mother, and she taught us about God, family, and country. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's been my entire life. That's why I've given back to kids. That's why I've given back to my community. It's God, family, and country.
You had a great, great mom. So thanks for that answer, because we're really curious about how people are defining it, because I know it's really difficult to look at that White House and everyone in it and feel really good about it, but I don't think that we don't feel good about our country because of them.
And Mike, I'll say this too.
I still have hope. I still have hope.
Yep. And you have some fight in you.
I
can just,
because I believe this is the greatest country. This is the greatest country in the history of the world. It's done more good for more people and afforded more opportunity to all. To mm-hmm. all. So
no doubt.
I have hope. I actually just retired from working with kids for an awful long time, and there's still a lot of young kids out there, I think, that get it, and they want nice. The direction, and they do love their country, and they see the opportunities that are afforded to them, and that's really what we have to work towards. It's the next generation of kids, and we have to let them know how great this country has been for all. Are we flawed? Of course we're flawed. And there's no nation that hasn't been flawed. But this has been the greatest experiment in the history of the world, this country of ours.
Agreed. And thanks for your comments today, Mark. Have a great weekend.
And I'll say this too, Mike. I think he makes a great point. For all the leftists out there that want a perfect solution and a simple solution for everything, mm-hmm. it's just not out there, okay? You have to grow and learn from mistakes, right? We always talk about World War II and Hitler. The world, it was one of the worst tragedies in the history of the world, what Adolf Hitler did in Germany to Jewish people and whatnot, right?
No doubt.
We're playing videos. They're going all over the place here. What Adolf Hitler did was one of the biggest tragedies in the world's history. But you know what? We learned a lot from that horrible, horrible, horrible tragedy. And that's what's frustrating in our country right now about some of these shootings. We're not learning.
Yep.
We're not learning. We're not making the same mistakes. And we're not fixing our mistakes. These last few that we've seen in 2022, they've all had red flags, right? And two of them have happened in states with red flag laws. And guess what? Those things aren't being looked at, right? Yeah. We're not learning. And the other thing I want to say too, Mike, to your mm-hmm. patriotic point is, mm-hmm. you know, this might be a little Donald Trump in me. I'll joke when I say that, but times like this actually almost make me more patriotic, because I want to mm-hmm. talk to our listeners. I want to get people fired up and say, we have to fix this. Yeah. It's our time to fix it, right? You have to be more patriotic and fight.
And patriotism means you're a problem solver.
Right.
Right. You're not just watching things unravel. You're stepping in, getting in front of it, and trying to solve the problems. Let's go to one more call before our little break coming up here.
Yep.
Jerry, are you there?
Yeah, thanks.
Hey, thanks for calling in.
Well, you know, Derek, you know,
Okay, I just get right to the point because I respect your time and other people there. As far as patriotism, I kind of go into my own reverie about going back to grammar school and hand on the heart and staying with the other kids in the room and having a teacher who believed in it and having a collective solemn understanding of this country. And then there's patches of it now if I associate with people, certain of like mind, you know, whether, say, for instance, a parade at Old Town Week, Old Home Week in Williamsville or something like that. I want to just say that and I needed someone just to, somewhere to pour out how, oh, I can't take this press secretary, whatever her name is. Yeah. Did she go to the Zaki, Jennifer Zaki school with this and the upticks? I never heard it. And every single time she's on the air, there, I got it off my chest, and I'm sure everybody knows. So I can't take her no better. The only thing I could if she called, if she was saying on the air or something about I won the lottery or something, then I might be able to take whatever she's. But every word out of her mouth has an "ah" in between. And thanks, guys.
You betcha.
And Jerry, I'm going to follow up on that because Mike and I were talking about that during our prep today. Yeah. I never would have thought I would have said it, but I almost miss Jen Psaki. Like, she actually she actually had it together. I mean, I don't agree with her, and I think she was probably a bad person because she lied a lot, but she actually wasn't – she was put together. She knew what she wanted to say, and she went at people. Yeah. This new press secretary is like, oh, my God, it's like Biden's 2.0, the Biden-Kamala 2.0. She just stumbles and stammers, and it's really, really bad.
Might be one of the hardest jobs, though, in the country, trying to be a spokesperson for that White House led by that president and having that vice president.
In that outfit over there.
In that outfit over there, yeah. All right, we're going to do a quick break here, folks. Don't go away. We're going to talk a little bit about the economy, inflation, what's happening out there. Still a lot of anxiety over this market.
What's wrong with the economy?
You're right. You know, well, if you're not working, if you're living in someone's basement and all the bills are being paid for you, I guess everything's fine, right? That's not, I didn't insinuate that's you, Mike. Sorry.
Yes, you did.
I kind of did. No, I didn't mean to. All right, folks. Mike Hayflick, Mike Sparazza, and for Mike Lomas and Glenn Wiggle, they're taking a little time off, and it's a beautiful, beautiful weekend here. Don't go away, folks. We have a lot of time left. 844-434-4TFG to share your thoughts and opinions. We'd love to hear them. Don't go away. We'll be right back on the Financial Guys Radio Network.
Title 42, sir, are you considering delaying lifting Title 42?
No, what I'm considering is continuing to hear from my, first of all, there's going to be an appeal by the Justice Department because as a matter of principle, we want to be able to be in a position where if in fact it is strongly concluded by the scientists that we need Title 42, that we'd be able to do that. But there has been no decision on extending Title 42.
Your hosts, Mike Lomas and Glenn Wiggle.
Just got to love Ron DeSantis. So you hear a clip of our president. We really should call him like king of word salads because Kamala has taken on the queen of word salads. You know, it's like when I'm listening to her, I'm thinking, will Kamala finish her speech? Like, that's how I feel about her. She's everything is like pause, try and get some dramatic effect. when you hear a guy like Ron DeSantis, this guy's got it together.
Dramatics work when your speech makes sense. Dramatics right. don't work when you have no idea what's going on. And I was just going to say, right. like with Biden, like you hear this stuff and it just, yeah, that guy's got it put together, doesn't he? He's really confident in what he's saying, Joe Biden, right? Right. You in all seriousness, you listen to him talk and you're like, oh my gosh, he doesn't know anything. And then Kamala, you wonder, did you read your, you know, pre-press conference notes? Did you read them at all? Did you do any homework with your team on what you wanted to say and the pitch that you're making to our constituents in our country? No. Do you think about it at all? I don't think they do.
I don't think so. And Ron DeSantis, by the way, we often will joke, we have a little bit of a presence down in Florida. And I mean, boy, how cool would it be to see him sworn in as president of the United States in 2024? But how sad would it be for Florida residents?
Yeah, yeah. Glenn talks about that a lot, right? my family that I have in Florida talk about that a lot. They don't want DeSantis to run, not because they don't love Ron DeSantis, but because they don't want to lose Ron DeSantis.
Exactly.
Mike, before we get into anything else, I'll tell you, it's going to be very, very interesting to see what the Democrats do going into 24, because yep. there's a lot of reports that they are panicking, that they don't know what they're going to do. And I don't know who the lead, you know, the front runner is on that side. I really don't know.
I'm thinking back to the primaries, the Democrat primaries, and who even seemed a little bit impressive. I'm trying to think, like, who I thought, boy, like, maybe, I mean, maybe could you even live with any of them there? I don't think so. I mean, honestly, I don't think so. I did want to talk a little bit about, I know we're going to be coming up, folks, by the way, with Kevin Hardwick, Erie County Comptroller, just after the hard break at the bottom of the hour. But before that, lots of anxiety going on out there, right? About the markets and about people's wealth and their accounts and the decline of value in their accounts. And, you know, here's a little bit of statistics. U.S. employers added 372,000 jobs in June. And I looked at that and I said, Mike, but how can some coffee shops still be closing midday when they can't, because they can't find employees?
We had a wedding last night and we were obviously looking to get food after the wedding because, you know, you had a few drinks and you need some food.
Yeah.
And we went to like four different places and it was only 11:30 at night and the drive-thrus were shut down. A couple places closed early. I'm thinking about, as a business owner myself, I'm like, how does this work?
Yep.
Like, what do you do?
Friday night, like 11 o'clock at night, Friday night should be like crazy busy, right?
Yes.
People either, younger people actually just starting to head out.
Right.
Right. And then others like maybe me, you know, oh, all right, we left the wedding. We just want to go grab a quick burger.
Need some carbs.
Some carbs or something. And nothing's open. How on earth could we be seeing those kinds of numbers? But, you know, essentially, I think what we found here is back at the, you know, I guess even late summer last year into the fall, the whole idea of transitory inflation. I don't know why they can't just use simple words like temporary, right? Transitory just meant, you know, the prices are higher, but it's because of supply chain issues. There are things happening out there causing prices to be higher. What turned out to be the case was that was not temporary, and we saw higher and higher inflation as the year unfolded and then into the new year. And so from a 5.9% cost of living adjustment that anyone on Social Security did receive, we saw 8.7. We saw then go, we actually saw 8.7 and then a decrease down to 8.3. There looked to be a little hope, but then the inflation rate went back to 8.6. And the idea here, though, is the Federal Reserve had to step in and basically try to cool off this economy. And all that means is try to get a little less excitement about purchases and taking on more debt and then slow down the idea of wage increases because it was just too hot. I kind of think of it like you step up to the starting line on a 5K race and you just go out running like as fast as you can possibly run. Couple hundred yards later, you're just like, you're winded, you got to slow down, right?
Yep.
The economy was too hot. So the Fed continues, and I think they meet again on July 26th and 27th. They have to decide what their next move is on the rate increases. And, you know, it sounds like it's going to be either 50 or 75 basis points. each time they raise this, though, folks, bond values can go down and fixed income is getting hurt, just like the stock market is. So, you know, we have to just sit tight here. We have to see what happens. We would never, ever recommend major moves with your money, right? We always talk about subtle adjustments, rebalancing. We talk about rebalancing all the time. So if you're out there, folks, and you're not sure what to do, you're not sure what to make of what's going on out there, especially with your investments, with your nest egg, maybe you're approaching retirement, you're just not sure what to do, please come and see us, folks. We have a team, 3 chartered financial analysts to help you make sense of all of this. You can actually get on conference calls with some of them. So please call us, 833-FIN-GUYS. If you're just not sure what to do, you just need to get a little bit of advice, a little education as to what's going on, maybe a little guidance as to what the next move should be, please call us.
And before we go to break real quick, I mean, how many more times can they lie about this stuff, though? Right? I mean, the transitory thing. They knew all the whole time, right? Yep. The gas prices thing. You know, when you talk about shutting down fossil fuels, and we'll get to Joe Biden's, you know, after we have our next caller, Kevin Hardwick, but we'll get to Joe Biden's just giving out gas like it's Tic Tacs to other country, but our own country can't have it. These people keep making these decisions knowing that it's impacting our country in a bad way, and then just openly lying about it. And they wonder why Joe Biden's approval rating is under 38%.
Right.
No kidding.
Yep.
Right?
And who is that 38% we always say? How on earth could it still be that high?
Please call in if you are one of the 38%. We would love to know and hear from you what he's doing that is bringing our country and unifying us, Mike. Remember that? We're going to unify you.
And the answer can't be he's not Donald Trump. You can't say that. You have to at least give us one thing that Joe Biden has done that you're feeling favorable about. All right, we're going to take a quick break, folks. When we get back, Erie County Comptroller Kevin Hardwick, you are listening to the Financial Guys Radio Network. And Mike Sparazza in studio. Always happy to be here. It's a bit like a therapy session sometimes, I think. Lot of clients. I had wonderful, wonderful clients this morning even coming in, and I know they're listeners. And so everyone out there who listens, I'm so happy you do. We all seem to think alike, and I don't even mean politically. I think common sense, right? We just seem to all have some common sense, and that's not often what we find. Someone once said to me, Mike, they said, yeah, but Mike, don't forget, common sense is not common.
Like, ooh. That's well said.
Well said.
Yep. Well said.
Someone who is on the line, though, that has to have common sense in his position, Erie County Comptroller Kevin Hardwick. Kevin, are you there?
I am, Mike.
Oh, terrific. Thanks for joining us today. We really appreciate this. You're in charge of Erie County's financial books now.
Hey, can I begin with a point of personal privilege?
Yes, you may.
I just wanted to put in a plug for some of my friends in the city of Tonawanda. My good friend Bob Gregg is one of the organizers of Art on the Riverwalk, which is tomorrow, Sunday from 10 to 4. Going to be a beautiful day on the Riverwalk in Nyawanda Park in the city of Tonawanda. I'll expect to see you guys there because I know you're in need of some fine art.
Ah, I could be taught about fine art. I know nothing about it, although I do remember some art history classes I took in college. I don't think I'd be someone to educate people on it, but I think I might enjoy that, actually.
All the more reason for you to get out there and I want to park tomorrow from 10 to 4 and pick up some art. Anyway,
you
have some other questions for me.
Yeah, well, first of all, you're now in office. How has the first 6-7 months or so gone for you as comptroller?
Yeah, it's a little over 6 months. It was a little bit difficult making the transition because we moved in on January 1st. It was the height of the Omicron variant, so half the staff either had COVID or was about to get it, or they were working from home anyway. So it took a little while to get to know people and to get settled in, but I think we're there now, and I'm enjoying it.
Terrific.
Kevin, we talk a lot about waste, fraud, abuse sometimes in government. You know, how have you tackled that, if you have, or how have you looked into that in regards to government waste spending, right? Have you looked into a lot of that, or do you have any plans for that if you have seen some?
Well, we are looking into some of it now. There are some audits ongoing, a number of audits, but specifically one concerning a contract with spending some of that COVID money. And I don't want to say anything more about it right now, but I can assure you that that we're doing our best with our limited audit staff to ferret out as much waste and fraud and abuse as possible.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things we all as taxpayers always hope. I mean, I think if you just, you know, casually were talking about taxes, people seem to be negative about taxes. I'm actually realistic about taxes. I think we all should be paying taxes, but I am more serious, I guess, when we talk about these things in terms of where does the tax dollar go? What was my dollars or the ones I contributed going toward, you know, and I think that's what mostly people seem to care about, Kevin. So, you know, can you just speak to that? Like, as a kind of a steward now of Erie County tax dollars, what's your philosophy about that? Like, just, you know, as far as transparency as to where all of our dollars are going, and how do you prioritize as the now Erie County Comptroller?
Well, our books are open, and if anybody wants to know where we're spending our money, it's easy enough to find that. I guess my concern is twofold. Number one, the mix of revenue sources that we have and problems that may portend. Let me be specific. Our biggest source of local revenue in Erie County is the portion of the Erie County sales tax that we keep for ourselves. We give about 40% of our sales tax to school districts and towns and villages and the three cities. The rest of it we keep for ourselves. And this year we've budgeted about $512 million. Mm-hmm. Compare that to the $321 million, significantly less, $190 million less, that we raise in property taxes. And it tells you that we're very sensitive to what happens with our sales tax. And that's, you know, I said earlier I was enjoying myself. I am. But one of the things that I'm concerned about is what happens if we enter this recession. I mean, for all we know, we're already in a recession. If that's a deep recession, that certainly is going to impact that sales tax revenue. Last year, we had a windfall. We got a lot more sales tax in than we had budgeted, and that was obviously because there was a lot of pent-up demand because of the pandemic, and as the restrictions started to come down, we got more and more money in, and that was good. Mm-hmm. I'm worried about the reverse happening, and if it does, you know, that's not good. When you are not just sales tax-driven as a government, we are sales tax-rocketed. So I'm very sensitive to what goes on there. The other thing that I have been trying to do is trying to conservatively but aggressively, it's almost an oxymoron, invest our money. In the past, for the past several years, we've had large sums of money, hundreds of millions of dollars sitting around, and we've been getting 2 basis points or 2/100ths of a percent in interest on that. Mm-hmm. I came in and my team said, you know, that's not good enough for us. We've got to do better. So we have been, for the last few months, buying up treasuries left and right, getting a considerably greater return on our investment. I mean, this comes at a time when Erie County probably will never, in the foreseeable future, have more money in our possession because of all the federal and state money that came in here relative to COVID. And a lot of that is designated to be spent someplace, but we haven't bought the stuff yet. We haven't paid for the stuff yet. So we're sitting on that money, and we want to raise as much money from that as possible, because every money we make in investment income is one less dollar we have to raise in property taxes. So in terms of philosophy, you know, that's a glimpse of where I'm at.
Kevin, we have a couple more questions for you. One question that Mike and I, you know, have for you is, do you fear, and you were talking about things that you're confident about, you're conservative about, you're, you know, aggressive about, do you worry about the statistics out there showing many, many, many people leaving New York State and how that can impact your budget, expenses, revenue? Is that something that you guys are really keeping an eye on and what maybe worries you in the future?
Yeah, I think that's something that we are concerned about. Obviously, everybody's concerned about that, but that's not a new concern. I mean, that concern goes back 50 years as more and more people have, left the state. From a property tax standpoint, again, which is a secondary source of revenue for us, as long as they don't bring their property with them, and as long as their property is not devalued somewhat or so much, I think we're okay there. The sales tax is another concern, but again, as much as I am worried about people leaving and not spending money on sales taxable items here, I'm just as concerned about the number of Canadians that haven't come over in recent years because of COVID, because of border restrictions, because that was, you know, that was a major source of income for us, mm-hmm. because they would come and they would spend money here, and much of that money was taxable, and so that's I'm as concerned about that, I guess.
Nice. We're speaking with Kevin Hardwick, Erie County Comptroller, right now. And I just wanted to end, I think, Kevin, with your visit here with us on the idea of regionalism. It's been talked about in the past. I know you've made some comments about that. Can you just tell our listeners, what does more regional cooperation look like to you? How does that help taxpayers?
Well, I think I think that there's a lot of duplication of effort. I mean, Erie County has three cities, 25 towns, I think it's 16 villages. And there's a lot of, you know, a lot of stuff that that each town does for itself that, we could cooperate on. And I think that the county is the logical vehicle to promote a lot of this regional cooperation. One thing that I've zeroed in on, and I'm very interested in, is garbage disposal. I hope at the end of my tenure to be labeled the garbage czar of Erie County. The person people turn to for their garbage. And you know, it's here's the thing. People care that their garbage is picked up. My garbage, because of the holiday, normally picked up Friday, but was picked up Saturday this morning, and it was off the street by, you know, 9 o'clock. And I'm glad. That's what I want to see. Once it leaves my my curb, however, I don't care where it goes. It's not like police services where I don't want, you know, I don't want a regional police force. I want my own city of Tonawanda police who know the streets, who know the people. You know, that's the last place you want to consolidate services is something like that. But garbage disposal, where it goes afterwards, is something that seems to be, you know, we could cooperate on because each of those, you know, towns and villages and cities, you know, has their own way of getting rid of their garbage. And if we cooperated, we could probably get a better deal from some of the landfills or other garbage disposal facilities. And I've seen some data to back that up. And I've convened a group of local supervisors and folks from the county, and we're going to pursue some things that we can do on a regional regional basis there. You know, and I hope that that will serve, it will save us money, but it will also serve as a demonstration of what we can do if we work together rather than off in our own little silos.
Absolutely great. Great to have you as a guest today. We really appreciate you calling in. Kevin Hardwick, Erie County Comptroller, we wish you luck in serving all of us as Erie County, as Erie County taxpayers and citizens. We love Western New York here, so whatever you can do. And by the way, I'm an alum of Canisius, so back when you you came on board, I guess, in 89 into Canisius, I think I was a junior in my undergrad, so got a little bit of connection there.
89 was a great year, but you want to send us more money at Canisius. When the phone rings and it's someone wanting money for Canisius, send us a lot.
I love it. Love it. All right. Well, have a great weekend, Kevin. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mike and Mike.
Okay. Thanks.
Take care. All right. Kevin Hardwick, Erie County Comptroller. Not an easy job. Definitely not an easy job, but it's such an important job. Kind of steward of all of our Erie County funds. He made a great point about federal funds coming in, state funds coming in. It's easy to then just feel really good, right? Feel really good about all this money rolling in.
I will say, though, Mike, I think, you know, and obviously we were a little pressed for time there. I do want to hit more on, though, I sound like a moron. I want to hit more on the fact that I really do fear, and for a lot of reasons, the mass exodus out of New York State, and maybe it's not as bad in Buffalo or Erie County that it is in maybe New York City or wherever. But
sure,
that influx or outflux of people is very concerning to me because of things he mentioned, sales tax, less people spending money, you know, property values potentially going down because there's, you know, the houses are unoccupied. They're you know, getting beat up because nobody's living in them.
Yep.
That stuff scares me a little bit when you hear these crazy numbers of people leaving our state every single day.
Yeah, and I think it comes down to, it's the first thing, safety, right? Yep. So you look at some of the major cities, you're still seeing tremendous numbers of shootings, tremendous amounts of drug dealing, crime in gangs. Yep. I mean, the first thing is safety, right?
Yep.
And if there's ever a continuation of the defunding the police movement and the, you know, kind of the bashing of law enforcement, I mean, that's one of the things that I think everyone used to agree. That's just common sense, right?
Yep.
We have to put funds toward that. Like, that's just a given. It's not a given anymore. And I think a lot of people are saying, whoa, I'm getting out of here, like, you know, basically for safety. And then, of course, when you get into taxes, you know, you can get into all the various things that you want to, political stances and the initiatives that try to get pushed through government. But I totally agree with you. I mean, the fewer people there are, the more money that has to come from the few that remain.
And the less jobs that are here, the less payroll tax, all that. And I think, you know, that's not really a question for Kevin because he's the comptroller. He's worried about the money. But that's the questions I would ask the Mark Poloncarz of the world, the Kathy Hochuls of our state, what the AOCs in New York City. What is your plan to keep people here and get more people back here? Because that is one of the most important things for the survival of this state and to be a well-oiled machine, right? You have to have people here. You can't have big business leaving.
No.
You can't have small business leaving. You have to have people that want to be here. You add in, Mike, what you said there, taxes. You add in COVID restrictions. Let's talk about that for a second. Companies closed, other companies left.
Right.
People got sick and tired of wearing a face diaper everywhere they went. You can't lose people. And again, that's not a Kevin Hardwick job. That's a Mark Poloncarz job. That's a Kathy Hochul job. It's a Gavin Newsom job, right? It's those people that need, and you look at Ron DeSantis, guess what's happening down there? People are moving down there.
Yeah.
From here.
Yeah.
From California.
And we're losing a lot of businesses and a lot of people. You know, that's the complete opposite of trying to attract companies and more people.
Exactly.
So we're not even saying, geez, like, we're just saying, like, slow this down, slow the exodus down. But hopefully we see something change. It's a great state, great, beautiful place to be. Great people. So many reasons that New York State is a wonderful state, but a lot of reasons people are leaving. So, again, thanks to Kevin Hardwick, Erie County Comptroller, for that visit. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back for our last segment, folks. You got Mike Hayflick and Mike Sparazza on the Financial Guys Radio Network.
You're listening to the Financial Guys. Here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
All righty, welcome back. Our last segment here on a beautiful Saturday, summer Saturdays in Western New York. You really can't beat them. We've often talked about people that live in the South that get really that stifling humidity and heat. They really ought to get a nice little townhouse or condo up here in Buffalo, New York, or Western New York, and spend, maybe June, July, August? July, August, September, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, the fall weather here is great, too. It's not as hot, but the, you know, Bills weather is, there's just nothing better than that.
It's tremendous.
September, October.
Absolutely tremendous. I joked with Mike. I said, you know, I think I just want to do 2 hours of how the Sabres did in their draft. And totally kiddingly, because I have no idea who any of these young men are that were drafted by the Sabres. But here, of course, here in Buffalo, we got to be Bills and Sabres fans. So
got to be optimistic.
Let's leave that to Glenn and Mike, right? Let them talk about the Sabres draft choices next show.
That's right. That's right.
We do have a caller. We have Dolores. Dolores, thanks for calling in. Hopefully you're having a great weekend. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I just found out about this last night. Let me be a smart aleck. May I be? I wanted to speak, thank you, to the two HIMS, HIMSs. I just said to be sarcastic with what's going on in our country. You got it. Thank you. Citizens Against Wind Turbines in Lake Erie. There is going to be a meeting on Tuesday, July 12th at the Southtowns Walleye Building. The doors open at 6 o'clock p.m. 6:30 will be the meeting. It is at 38... wait a minute, I've got the address here. Let me give you the address. 5895 Southwestern Boulevard. It's the Walleye Building. Anybody who's a boater, anybody who's a fisherman, anybody who respects the greatest freshwater in the entire world needs to stop this. They're planning and putting in wind turbines from Buffalo through Dunkirk. We have to get to, I'm Hamburg, so I'm going to go after my local legislators and the county and the state. This is unacceptable. What it's going to do, because these things do all kinds of problems. Somebody already got one out in Long Island. Now, where it is, I don't know. There are two women that have been trying to set this up to get it done. But I guess what I'm calling for is all hands on deck. This is one thing we can all get together and stop.
No doubt. And that Dolores, is going to be on the- thank you. And I think you're right. I think there are some things that we can all get together and at least voice our opinions on. Let's all debate this at least. But no doubt about it, Citizens Against Wind Turbines. So July 12th, 6:30. And that's at 5895 Southwestern Boulevard. Dolores, thank you. We can tell you're definitely, definitely passionate about this. And a lot of people that are nature lovers, and I don't think that's not a political party thing. That's just people who like the environment. I don't think any of us want to see all these wind turbines lining from basically what, Hamburg all the way down toward Dunkirk.
Yeah, and you know, you hear about the efficiency of those things and a few other of these green energy things, and right now they're just not as efficient as you probably want them to be, and
right.
It's a lot of money going into that stuff. So, and then you add on top of the environmental side with the animals, the birds, all that jazz. But can we check in, Mike, with our friend Joe Biden for
Absolutely.
A minute here?
Absolutely, let's hear it. Yeah.
Power. It is noteworthy that the percentage of women who registered to vote and cast a ballot is consistently higher than the percentage of the men who do so. End of quote. Repeat the line. Women are not.
Wait. Were those cues, or was he really supposed to read that?
Seriously, let's listen to that one more time, because, folks, this is not a joke. This is just outrageous that this guy doesn't know how to hold a press conference.
And this is a teleprompter, folks, so he's getting help here. This isn't him saying, hey, just get up, go up and give your thoughts on this, okay, Mr. Biden? No, this is all scripted. This is all very scripted. In fact, you got Mayorkas and Kamala Harris right to his right and left, standing behind him. This has been all rehearsed and scripted, and this is what he says.
It's consistently higher than the percentage of the men who do so, end of quote. Repeat the line. Women.
I mean, I hate to say it, we said it before. If you've ever seen the movie Anchorman, it's it, right? And if you haven't, go watch it, because at the end, Ron Burgundy will say anything that comes on the teleprompter. He actually yells an expletive at the city of San Diego because he's reading directly off the teleprompter, and his boss gets mad, like, son of a, come on, who put that on the teleprompter? That's this guy. It's not, and he actually reads it, like, with, like, emotion.
He does.
Repeat the quote. Right, like what? Come on, man! I'm serious, man.
That was a good
Biden-ism. I'm serious, man. Come on.
That might be that might be on his gravestone someday. Not wishing him gone, but someday it'll just say, "Come on, man.
I'm serious.
Do the right thing. Come on, man." Anyway, yeah, this is what we've got, folks, right now in the White House. And again, are we better off with a Kamala Harris given her word salad abilities? Because remember her saying, we've got to start taking these shootings seriously because, I know that you've had to become serious about this because you've just had to become serious. I mean, this is the type of people we've got that are leading the charge, that are our spokespersons for what they're going to do about these issues and these problems. And this is not good, folks. In fact, who's the third in charge? Nancy Pelosi.
Nance.
So I don't know what we hope for. I don't know. I think this is a time to have some faith that things do actually work out, because I'll tell you, when you look at the leadership right now, and then again, remember Biden with his cheat sheets.
Yeah.
It literally said on his cheat sheet when and where he'll sit down. I mean, this is not normal, folks. This is not normal. This is not support by a staff. This is like, I don't even know what it is. Like, he's a puppet who's he's losing. He's like loose. He's off his strings.
Yep.
The strings are getting all tangled, folks, if he's the puppet, because, you know, it's clearly he's not in charge.
And with him, too, if you go watch his older videos when, you know, he was a you know, younger politician.
Right.
Yes, he said outrageous stuff at times, but he was very, very put together in the way he responded to people, the way he
right.
talked. This is not Joe Biden of 10 years ago. Right. This is a totally different animal right now.
Right.
And it's sad. And before we close up, Mike, I'll let you close because we, you know, we the video here, you know, take pride in your country, folks. Tell your kids about how great our country is. Let's get back to having pride in who we are as Americans. Let's not act like this is the worst country in the world, because it's not. It's a great country. It's the best country in the world, and it's been for a very long time. And we have to have that sense of pride and ownership in being a citizen of this great country.
Yeah, we want to wrap up with thoughts by this veteran, over 100 years old, I think 102 years old. Just take a listen to this, folks.
Nobody will have the fun I had. Nobody will have the opportunity I had. It's just not the same. That's not what I want. That's not what they died for. It's just not it. I'm so sorry. I'll be all right. It just takes me time to get over it. Why me sitting here like this? See, all this going on.
That's a veteran breaking down, crying, because he's saying this isn't what our country is all about. This isn't what we fought for. And that's what he is saying about where we are heading. And